Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word for Tuesday, October the 4th, 2016. And this is pre-recorded because we are now in the Feast of Tabernacles, and I am gone at the feast with my brothers and sisters. This is not a Sabbath day. The fourth is not a Sabbath. You may do work and do other things. You are just celebrating the feast and living your normal life in the feast in the Sukkot. Your brush shelter. You're sleeping in it and doing everything in it, cooking outside of it, and eating in it, enjoying fellowship in the Sukkot with your brothers and sisters. That's the plan. I will be at the feast here where I live, and being observant as commanded by Yahweh. So today, I'll get back into a normal schedule, and I will be doing Ele Devarim, chapter 9. That's Deuteronomy. That's the Hebrew name for the book of Deuteronomy. These are the words, Ele Devarim. So we'll get into chapter 9. These are all reiterations, repeatings of events that have happened in the other books to a new crop of Israelites. So Moshe is repeating things. So they all get to hear this before he goes up on the mountain and Yahweh takes him. His life is coming to an end. And he needs to make sure that everybody knows the teachings of Yahweh. Pardon me for the pauses here, but my bronchitis is acting up a bit. So let's get started in chapter 9 of verse 1. Hear, O Israel, you are to pass over this day the Jordan, which is the Jordan River, to go in and dispossess, 3:4-2:3, nations greater and mightier, 60-90, than yourselves, cities great and fortified, 1:2:1:9, to the sky, a people great and tall, 7:3:1:1, children of the Anakim, 6:0:6:2, whom you know and of whom you have heard said, who can stand before the children of Anak, 6:0:6:1. Know this day, because Yahweh Eloheka is he that goes over before you as a fire that consumes. He shall destroy them, and he shall subdue, 3:6:6:5, subdue them before you. You shall dispossess them. In other words, kick them out of where they live, and destroy them quickly, 4:1:1:8, as that which said Yahweh to you. So Yahweh is going to go over and deal with these people that they think are invincible. But Yahweh is not afraid of any creation. or perversion of creation, like the Anakim. He can wipe out anything. And he's trying to strengthen these people because he's not going to be able to lead them over. Yahweh's going to have Joshua, if you need it, lead them over. Moshe's not going to be allowed to go over. Verse 4. Do not say in your mind, after Yahweh Eloheka has driven them out, that's 19:20, from before you, saying, for my righteousness, 6666, has brought me, Yahweh, to possess this land. Okay, what righteousness? They were stiff-necked and rebellious. Continuing on, but it is for the wickedness, 7564, of these nations that Yahweh dispossesses them before you. Well, he's not doing it because the Israel was so goody-goody. They'd rebuild, and he'd even killed a bunch of them in punishment. But these other nations were so evil, worshiping false gods and sacrificing children and doing just abominable things, that he wanted to wipe them out. Verse 5, not for righteousness or uprightness, 3476, of your heart you go to possess the land, but for the wickedness of these nations, Yahweh Eloheka dispossesses them from before you, so that he may perform, 6969, here that word means to make stand the word that swore Yahweh to your forefathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, because not for righteousness does Yahweh Eloheka give you this good land to possess. For a people of hard, 7186, necks, 6203, are you. Okay, he's just saying, hey, look, you know, you've been rebellious. Verse 7, remember, 21:42, and do not forget, 7911, how you provoked to anger, that's one word, 7107, Yahweh Eloheka in the wilderness, from the day that you went forth from the land of Mitzrayim until you came to this place. You have been rebellious, that's one word, 4784, against Yahweh. Also in Koreb, 2722, you provoked to wrath Yahweh, so was angry, 599, enough Yahweh against you to destroy you. Oh boy, that was a bad time. And I need to get ahead of this water here. I'm a little dry. Oh yeah. Verse 9 of chapter 9. You reference Exodus 24:18. When I ascended the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that made Yahweh with you, then I abode upon the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, and bread I did not eat, and water I did not drink. Well, he didn't need it because Yahweh sustained him at that time, being in his presence. Yahweh maintained his body without suffering. Verse 10, and gave Yahweh to me the two tablets of stone, written 3789 by the finger 676 of Elohim. Upon them all the words that spoke Yahweh with you in the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it was at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that gave Yahweh to me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Said Yahweh to me, arise, get you down quickly from there, because have corrupted themselves, 7843, the people that you brought forth from Mitzrayim, and have turned aside, 5493, quickly, 4118, from the way that I commanded them, and made themselves a cast image, 4541. That was when Aharon made that golden calf, because they insisted on it. They didn't have the patience to wait 40 days and 40 nights for Moshe to return. And the mixed multitude had a lot to do with that. Verse 13, said Yahweh to me, saying, I have seen these people, and behold, a people, 5186, of hard necks are they. Withdraw from me, that's 7503, so I may destroy them and wipe out, 4229, their name from under the sky, and make you a nation mightier and greater than they. Let's hold off here for a second. Moshe was old, even at that point. But Yahweh would have restored him as a young man and got him a wife or wives and would have started over with a new nation out of Moshe. But remember, Moshe was a humble man, the most humble among all of Adam. He was a true servant. And he loved his people, even though they were sinful and had spoken against him and threatened to kill him and done all kinds of things. He was a godly man. Verse 15, so I turned, 6437, and came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned, 1197, with fire. And the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. Those were the original tablets of the 10 words, the 10 commandments. Verse 16, I looked, and behold, you had sinned, 2398, against Yahweh Elohim, and had made you a cast, 4541, calf, 5695. You had turned aside, 5493, quickly from the way that had commanded Yahweh to you. Well, that was verse 16, and you reference Exodus 32, verse 8. Verse 17, I seized 8610, the two tablets, and cast them, 7993, from my two hands, and broke them, 7665, before your eyes. He was very, very upset. Verse 18. And I fell down, 5307, before Yahweh, as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. Bread I did not eat, and water I did not drink, over all your sins, 2400, that you had sinned, 2403, in doing evil, 7451, in the sight of Yahweh, to provoke him to anger. All one word again, 3707. For I was afraid, 3025, from the presence of the anger and hot displeasure, 2534, by with was wrath, 7107, Yahweh against you, to destroy you, but listened Yahweh to me at that time. Now that's verse 19, and you can reference the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 12, verse 21. Verse 20, against Aharon was enraged, 599, Yahweh enough to destroy him, and I prayed, 6419, also for Aharon at that time. Verse 21, and the sin, 2403, that you had made, the calf, I took and burned it with fire and crushed it and ground it very well, 3190, it means fully ground it up, until it was beaten into dust, and I cast the dust into the brook that came down from the mountain, and he made him drink from it, actually. Verse 22, and at Taberah, 8404. Now you can reference that on Numbers, chapter 11, verse 3. And at Massa, 4532. And you can reference that at Exodus 17:7. And Kibroth Hataawa, 6914. You can reference that at Numbers 11:34. You did provoke to wrath Yahweh. Verse 23, when sent you Yahweh from Kadesh Barnea, 6947, saying, go up and possess the land that I have given you. Then you rebelled, 4784, against the words, 6310, that's literally the mouth of Yahweh Elohecham, and did not believe him, 539, nor listen to his voice. Now that's verse 23, and you can reference Numbers 13, verses 17 and 31. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 21 and 26, and Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 24, you have been rebellious against Yahweh from the day that I knew you. Well, this is true. That's exactly what they were. They were rebellious. Wouldn't listen, even with all the miracles. And we're rebellious today, too. We don't want to listen today, either. Whew. Verse 25, so I fell down before Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights, as I fell down at the first, because had said Yahweh he would destroy you. He's praying for these people deeply, sincerely, because he loved them. Even though they had abused Moshe, he prayed for them. He loved them. verse 26. I prayed to Yahweh and said, Lord Yahweh, do not destroy your people and your inheritance that you redeemed by your magnificence, which you brought forth from Mitzrayim with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Look not to the stubbornness, 7190, of this people, to their wickedness, 7562, or to their sin, 2403. Lest say the land that they came forth from, was not, 1047, able, 3201, Yahweh, to bring them into the land that he spoke of to them, and because he hated them, he brought them forth to put them to death in the wilderness. Verse 29, they are your people and your inheritance that you brought forth by your great power and by your stretched out arms. What a passionate prayer for people that were sinful. Didn't matter. Moshe forgave them, pleaded for them, and Yahweh heard him. Now let's get into chapter 10 here. After I drink a little more water. Chapter 10, verse 1. At that time said Yahweh to me, carve, 6458, carve you two tablets of stone, like the first, and come up to me in the mountain, and make you an ark, 727, of wood. Verse 2, and I will write upon the tablets the words that were upon the first tablets that you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. Verse 3, and I made an ark of the wood of Shittim, 7848. That is a place, they had particular wood there. And carved two tablets of stone like the first, and went up the mountain with the two tablets in my hand. And he, capital H, he, speaking of Yahweh, wrote upon the tablets as the writing upon the first, the 10 words which spoke Yahweh to you in the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and gave Yahweh them to me. Well, he made him replacement tablets, because that was his law that he wanted taught. So Moshe was up there again for some period of time. And here on verse 5, and I turned myself, 6437, and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark which I had made. And they are there as that which commanded Yahweh. This is a simplified version. Because the Ark of the Covenant was fancy with all that gold stuff and all the cherubims and stuff on it. Oh, yeah, I made an ark. Well, in the prior chapters, it tells all the detail that went into the Ark of the Covenant. So here he is putting the stone tablets in that ark. He just sort of glossed over all the rich details which were given in other books of the construction of that ark. verse 6. And the children of Israel set forth from Be'eroth B'nai Yaakon, that's 885, to Mosera, 4149, and died there, Aharon, and was buried there, and ministered in the priest office, that's one word, 3547, Eleazar, his son, in his stead, 8478, in other words, his replacement. Okay? Verse 6 here, you can reference Numbers 20, verse 28, and 33, verse 38. And that 885, Be'eroth B'nai Yaakon, means wells of the children of Yaakon. That's what that means, that big long word. So that's what went on with that. And they just sort of glossed over when Aharon died. Verse 7. From there they set forth to Gudgoda. 14:12. And from Gudgoda to Yotbatha, 3193, a land of streams, 5158, of water, 4325. Verse 8, at that time set apart, 914, Yahweh, the tribe, 7626, of Lewi, the Levites, Levi, the Jews have changed it to a V instead of a W. They preferred everything, including Hebrew, to carry the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. That was the Ark that he just mentioned that he had made. To stand before Yahweh, to minister to him, and to bless in his name unto this day. And for verse 8, you can reference the book of Numbers, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Verse 9. Wherefore it shall not be for the Lewi to have a portion, 2506, or inheritance, 5159, with their kinsmen. Yahweh, he is their inheritance, as that which spoke Yahweh Eloheka. Verse 10, and I stood upon the mountain as the first days, 40 days and 40 nights, and listened Yahweh to me also at that time, and would not. Would is 14, and not is 3808. And would not Yahweh destroy you, 7843. And verse 10, you can reference the book of Exodus 34, 38, verse 11. And said Yahweh to me, arise, walk to your station, 4550, before the people, so that they may go in and possess the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Verse 12. And this applies to today, brothers and sisters. And now, Israel, what does Yahweh Eloheka require of you? 7592. But to revere, 3372, Yahweh Eloheka, and walk in all his ways, and to love him, 157, and serve, 5647, Yahweh Eloheka with all your heart and all your being. To observe the commandments of Yahweh and the statutes that I command this day for your good. Because all of his laws are for our good. He gives us good laws to help us, keep us healthy, keep us safe, keep us from sin if we obey them. So 12 and 13 apply today. What does he want from us? He wants us to love him. He wants us to revere him as the divine creator and walk in his ways that he has shown us. Because if we did that, we wouldn't have the troubles that we have today. We haven't been obedient. And here we've got all this stuff. Why does God let this stuff happen? Do you spank your son if he does something wrong? You just spank him? Well, we're getting a spanking. I mean, he's told us and told us and told us and told us to obey. He went so far as to manifest himself in the body of a man so he could suffer and die for us. And still we're rebellious. And we're believing all these fables from the Talmud that's being preached in these Judeo-Christian churches. And it's a self-made disaster. But slowly the remnant is coming out. I see it. I hear it. I'm watching it. I'm praising Yahweh for it. It's wonderful. Makes me very, very happy that people are starting to come around. So I'll just keep on keeping on. That's all I can do. He called me to do this, and this is what I'm doing with joy in my heart. Praise Yahweh. Verse 14 of chapter 10. Behold, of Yahweh Eloheka is the sky, and the sky of skies, and the land, and all that is in it. He made everything. Made it all. But we forget that. We think we have something to do with it, and it's ours now. Well, it's on loan from Yahweh. It's his. It always has been his and always will be. Cattle of 1,000 hills. It's all his. He made the sky. He made the land. He made the air that we breathe. He made us. Made the crops that we plant. Made the animals that we eat. Made the water that we drink. We forget these basic facts. We take them for granted. Oh, they've always been here. No, they weren't always here. They've been here as long as you've been here, and me, But there were a time way back under when they weren't here. He put them here. And our lifespans are so short that all we get to see of this place is our own little short experience. I'm 69 years old. Whoa, you're an old man. What's 69 years? Poof. How fast has my 69 years gone? Whew, like lightning, folks. Like lightning. Just boom. And here I am. I'm 69. And I look back on all the foolish mistakes I made, and I can't change one of them. Can't do a single thing to fix all the foul-ups that I committed. All I've got to look forward to is trying to live what's left to me of this particular habitation of the temple I'm in right now, and try to do right now. You know, that the old thing, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Well, that applies to me too, at 69 years of age. And there are people a lot older than me. There's a bunch of old wise heads in the Christian identity movement. And there are some that are not so wise. People that are teaching that the Jews can be saved and we're all brothers. And they claim to be CI. They are not. Let's move on. Chapter 10, verse 16. Oh, no, 15. I didn't do 15. This is a good verse. Verse 15, chapter 10. Only upon your forefathers. Only is 7535. Upon your forefathers delighted, 2836, Yahweh, to love them, 157. And he chose, 977, their seed line, 2233, after them, you of all peoples as this day. That applies to today too. He chose us, Israelites. What a privilege, what a blessing, what a miracle that he chose us. Verse 16. Now, you'll find this in the New Testament. Circumcise, 4135. The foreskins, 6190, of your hearts, 3824. And your neck, 6203, be not stiff, 7185, anymore, 5750. That applies today again. It's still going on. Okay, circumcise the foreskins of your hearts, not just your flesh foreskin. Your hearts control your behavior. The other is a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. But you have the covenant to do in your heart and your mind, which is more important. verse 17. Because Yahweh Elohecha, now Elohecha means your divine being. He, 1931, is Elohe, 430 again. That means divine being of. He is Elohe of Elohim, that's plural. He is the divine being of divine beings, or God of all divine beings, and Lord, 113, of Lords, 113. These are titles. The Great El, 410, that means the great divine being. Mighty, 1368. And Awesome, 3372. That does not lift up, 5375. Faces, 6440. In other words, make somebody important. Nor take, 3947, bribes, 7810. In other words, he doesn't show favoritism or take bribes. Verse 18. But makes, 6213, justice, 4941, for the fatherless children, that's one word, 3490, and widows, one word, 490, and loves, 157, the sojourner, 1616, giving food, 3899, and clothing, 8071. Now he's talking about Israelite sojourners, travelers, because Israel was going to be scattered all over the place. Therefore, love the sojourner, because sojourners you were in the land of Mitzrayim. A sojourner is a temporary resident in the land. Verse 20. Yahweh Elohecha, again, that means your divine being. Yahweh, your divine being. You shall hold in awe, 3372, and you shall serve him, and cleave to him, 1692, it means to cling to him, or be loyal to him. And he is Elohecha, that means he is your divine being, that has done for you these great and awesome things, that saw you with your eyes. In other words, the people of Israel had seen all these miracles that Yahweh did with their own eyes, and they tended to forget them. They, you know, if it wasn't convenient at the time, they thought more of themselves than they did Yahweh. Well, what do we do today? We think of ourselves. I know that's a commandment, but it's not real convenient. So, yeah. I think I'll skip that one. I got to go ahead and make this deal while I can. Okay. See, you just worshiped an idol at that point. You put something before Yahweh. My motto, even on my Skype, you look up my profile, it says Yahweh first. Always Yahweh first. Before anything in your own life. That's how it's got to be. It's tough sometimes, folks, but that's how it's got to be. Verse 22, with 70 people went down your forefathers to Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, and now has made you, 7760, Yahweh Eloheka, as the stars, 3556, of the skies, 8064, in multitude. Now, part A of verse 22, the first part, you can reference Genesis 46:27. And part B, about the stars of the sky, you can reference Genesis 15, verse 5, and verse 22, chapter 22, verse 17. This whole chapter is another accounting of prior occurrences, along with some exhortations for righteousness. He's preaching to this new crop. In verse 16, circumcise the foreskins of your heart, and your neck be not stiff anymore. He's talking about a total commitment to Yahweh. The heart in Hebrew is the center of thought, not emotion. In the Greek, it is the center of emotion, not thought. It is opposite between the Hebrew and the Greek. Your thoughts and your actions are to be centered on Yahweh's Torah, the teachings, all the food laws, so you don't eat garbage and poison like we're eating today. We've let these people pollute our air, water, and soil in the name of corporate profit. And now we've got genetically modified food and this and that, and we're eating all this unhealthy garbage that they have trained us through the Talmud vision. Oh, you got to eat this and you got to do that. And they have all those food ads on TV. And those things are also processed and full of chemicals and stuff. And they're not good for us. You eat fast food, you're a fast food junkie, it'll kill you. Your health will go downhill. You'll have all kinds of problems. It's just, you know, and it's a fight for me just to find healthful stuff to eat, because I live in a city. They don't have anything healthful to eat, and it's hard to find it. And I don't have any transportation. Can't run all over the country looking for stuff. And the health food stores that they've got here are Jew-owned, and their prices are absolutely through the roof. They make it very difficult for us to afford to buy stuff that's good for us. And a lot of our people are moving out into the country. It's a gradual thing. And I get some fresh veggies from some of my brothers and sisters. And if I'm still here next year, I'm going to move things around. I'm going to have 5-gallon buckets sitting in my great big windows here, and let the sun shine in all the time. And I'll be growing tomatoes and peppers just in 5-gallon drywall buckets. You can grow them out on your front balcony and grow your own stuff. So it just depends on what you want to do with your life. I've changed mine all around by all these teachings that I read all the time, and I'll go through these things, and as I go through these books, I'll find one little section, and I've read it 100 times before, and it'll just reach up and just slap me right upside the head. Because something's come up in the world and I'm talking about a particular subject, or I'm on a show with Eli and we're doing something, and this verse comes up, and you know, we're talking about what other people are doing, and this verse will show me, hey man, you're doing the same thing in a slightly different way. And oh, I'm a bonehead. Well, I am, and so are you. We all are. We just, you know, we just keep on keeping on, and life is a learning experience. And the more you read Scripture, the more you're going to learn, and it may not be all that pleasant sometimes. I know I get a spanking, but he loves me, and he puts up with me. I know he's got a sense of humor, because I'm still alive, and he loves me, and he sent my Redeemer for me, as he did for you, and I have accepted that sacrifice and praise him and proclaim it. And he wants us to do that, and he wants us to be kind and gentle with one another and not have all this infighting and ego trips. And maybe someday Christian identity will all settle down and everybody will agree on one set of rules. But people are trying. They're searching, they're seeking, and I can't really fault people. Now, I have things that are real clear as far as doctrine, and then there are a few things here and there that are shades of gray. And when I hear false doctrine being taught in the name of Christian identity, I am honor bound to have to refute that. I have to call attention to the Scripture verses that show it's an error. I don't have a choice in the matter. He's not going to allow me to keep on teaching and preaching unless I do his work. And I, you know, and you're hateful and you said this against so and so. I'm only quoting Scripture. And if the Scripture says this, and the Scripture offends someone, what does that do about their opinion? What does that say about it? If the Scripture is clear on something and you deliberately teach the opposite of it, you are not serving Yahweh. You are serving your opinion. Do not add to or take away from these words. Well, the Judeo-Christian churches are doing that. They're adding to and taking away. And we can't do that in Christian identity. We're setting the standard here. We have to be a cut above that. And if it says to do thus and so in the Scripture, we're supposed to do it because we're supposed to be real Israel, okay? We all agree on that. We say we're Israel, all right? If you talk the talk, should you not walk the walk? He doesn't expect perfection from us. It's just never going to happen because we're not perfect people. Only one was perfect, and he was our sacrifice. But what he does expect is a conscientious effort. Sincerity on our part. How we treat other people. How do we deal with his laws that he has given us? He wants you to give it the old college try, okay? That's what Yahweh wants. And he has to turn his head occasionally because we're just, and just shake his head and say, oh. He almost destroyed us a bunch of times, and Moshe prayed for us. And he still loves us, but we started fooling around with foreign gods, so we got dispersed out of our original homeland. We're not there. That which is there is not Israel. We're all over in all the white Christian nations. Even Christianity has been perverted and polluted. So now it's Talmud Christianity. The enemy, the Edomites, the Babylonian priests, the evil foxes have gotten in our hen house. Yeshua reviled them over their Talmudic teachings. And how much more so are they doing today, because people don't even know their Talmudic teachings. They don't have the lifelong instruction that we used to get from our parents. How many of us today sit our kids down and read the Bible with them? No, we're not watching TV, we're not watching Death Raiders or whatever. You got your homework done, now we're going to sit down and we're going to do this study. And Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're going to do this from now on. Don't care what you want. Sit down, shut up. Listen, learn. You're going to get a smack if you don't. Yes, Daddy. And you sit them down and you get them in this groove. You put yourself in the groove and your wife in the groove and the kids in the groove, and you all sit there and you study Scripture word by word together as a family of Israelites. And you teach your children who they are. And you teach your children how they are supposed to behave. And you have to behave that way too to set an example for them. If we're going to talk Israel, we need to walk Israel. It begins with you. I cannot force you to do a single thing. I have absolutely no authority over anyone on this planet but myself. I can exhort to righteousness. That is the calling of a preacher. Not to beat you over the head with it and follow you around, go to your home and pester you and irritate you. That's not it. You don't have to listen to this show. You can turn it off, see? You have that choice. You're listening to this show because I'm saying something that pertains to your life that might be interesting, that you might learn something from it. You want to listen here, okay? This is a voluntary thing. You have control. And if you're the man of the house, you need to control your house and have your house read these scriptures. Don't take everything I say as perfect. I can make a mistake. Read it and study it and learn it for yourself. I'll talk to you tomorrow on Wednesday. May Yahweh bless and keep you. And I say Shalom Aleichem to all my brothers and sisters. Have a good Feast of Tabernacles.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus, go.